Welcome to NAWO's Women in Operations podcast series, episode 1, Connecting Your Employment Brand with Female Talent. Thank you for joining me for the NAWO podcast series, Women in Operations. I'm Louise Ween, the National Director of NAWO, and I'm delighted to share with you a range of interviews with exciting people from our network who are all passionate about NAWO's vision for a world where women and men can be equally represented and valued at every level. In this episode, I'll be discussing employment branding strategy with branding strategist Dee Heffernan. Operational work environments still have a bit of an image problem, with perceptions still attached to traditional, industrial, blokey, physical, dirty work environments of the past. I'm sure you can relate to hearing comments like, "It takes a special kind of woman to work in this environment. There aren't many women around with the right skills or experience for this role. We were open to employing women for this job, but none applied." There are many questions that these kind of comments prompt in my mind, but one that stands out is, why did women not apply? Are we talking to them clearly enough about the opportunity? Are we exciting them about the organisation? Do they understand the kind of career opportunities that are available? In most cases, operational work environments have come a very long way. Technology is removing old physical and dirty practices at a speed never seen before, and cultures are really changing. Certainly our NAWO members are highly committed to a focus on more inclusive work environments. There really is no better time to be a woman in operations, yet are we effectively marketing opportunities in operations to female talent? How do you strike the balance between getting potential candidates excited about working for your organisation while still keeping it real? Where do you start with telling a new story for your organisation? And how do you use imagery and language as well as garner employee support for spreading the word about your organisation? All these questions and more will be discussed today with Dee Heffernan. Dee is based in Chicago in the USA and is a branding strategist, designer and advisor to leaders, startups and enterprises that put people first. Dee's strategic advisory and creative agency helps mission-driven organisations build brands that engage with more meaning. She describes herself as part therapist, part chiropractor and part stylist, which I just love. Dee, thanks so much for joining me on our very first NAWO podcast. You've done some great work in helping organisations engage with their customer markets and also the markets for talent. What drives your passion for helping great companies tell their story better?
So I have to say that this question, I could go in so many different directions, but the one that I thought I'd zero in on is my own original story, so to speak. So ideals and things that we believe in and hold very close and dear to us was a really huge theme in my family growing up. So I grew up surrounded by independent spirits, entrepreneurs from many generations, my parents, their grandparents. So my father's a really amazing storyteller, and he would come home from work and he would tell us all these stories about the health food store that my grandparents started, which we also grew up in. It obviously affected my father because having grown up in the health food store, he then decided to start his own business with my mom, which was formulating skincare products, chemical-free bath and body care products, and started in their kitchen and later went to the basement of our house and then eventually to this really wonderful state-of-the-art facility, which they own and operate still to this day. And then I also saw how hard it can be and frustrating it can be when you have this company that's really amazing and doing very principled things, but you have another company that is, you know, as we would call a copycat, that doesn't really have nearly the product or the culture or the service that measures up, but they just have a better marketing plan. And so I always thought this was really curious. Going through college, my undergraduate at University of Chicago was a psychology major, so I thought I was going to be a clinical psychologist, and that's where the therapist in me comes in. Trying to figure out how to align the journey with what people see and encounter and experience on the outside, and then ultimately trying to make that the the focus so that the good business, the good guys win. I guess it's just that simple.
Thanks for giving us that insight into where your passion is driven from, Dee. And it's fantastic to hear that you have that insight into the kind of manufacturing world as well through your parents' business. As you know, NAWO is the peak body representing or championing women in operations in Australia. And we're really keen to discuss today how operational industries and businesses can better market their career opportunities to female talent. A couple of key statistics that you may be interested in. Australia, we have 60% of university graduates being women, and yet only 27% of key management positions across the board in Australia are filled by women. We're really keen to understand why that is, and we know there are several reasons for it. But in the operational sectors that NAWO represents, so we're talking manufacturing, logistics, transport, agriculture, we really want to know, are businesses in these sectors advertising their career opportunities effectively enough to not just female talent, but talent of the future? So are we telling a story that is engaging of people? And if our industry is not inherently sexy or exciting or glamorous, you know, let's talk fertilizer and explosives, for instance, can we develop an employment brand that creates an exciting new story to attract female talent while still keeping it real?
So when I go into creating a marketing piece, I think about who the person I'm marketing to is. So what is the profile of that audience? What do they look like? What do they sound like? And then the next place I go to, if I'm developing a piece that uses stock photography, which is most marketing pieces or most companies are using stock photos at some point, is to go to a stock photo site and start searching or Googling or whatever, just to get my ideas going. And especially in business or in I was doing some Googling on women in construction, women in operations, you see these really, you know, they're comical to someone like me and maybe even perhaps to you or most women, because, you know, we know that we don't look that way. You know, we're not wearing a suit and a hard hat and also stilettos standing on a work site. You know, that's just, it's not realistic. And I think that a lot of companies aren't spending the time on the strategy that comes before that selection process happens. A lot of times when developing and, you know, say a career page or an employment website or even an employer brand Facebook page, the photos, the choice of photography is almost a secondary thought. And it really needs to be a primary thought. You know, how is this going to appear?
So let your strategy drive the selection of imagery. Let your strategy drive things like selection of language as well in your advertisements, I guess, is the key learning there. And so, Dee, could you give us a couple of examples of organisations that you believe have done an excellent job of telling their story and branding themselves in a way that attracts or better attracts female talent?
Okay, so I have two examples. One is really easy and well-known, and that is Starbucks. So Starbucks has always been very progressive, and they have always been very employee-centric, and that's, you know, one of the ways that they promoted that early on. So my now wife, 20 years ago, worked for Starbucks. And back in the day, she was like, yeah, I work 15 hours a day and I still get full benefits. Isn't that awesome? Like, wow, Starbucks is a great company. And that's kind of how this started. But Starbucks is, they really drive their recruiting process still through their employees. And now with social media and the ability to have, you know, to utilize your employees as your ambassadors, they have hashtags. They have, I think it's a hashtag called SB, like Starbucks Jobs Chat. So you can literally hashtag that and find people to answer your questions. I feel like there's a sense of trust that employees feel when they have the ability to, you know, talk up their company. It's like being on a team. Like they have real pride. There's a lot of things that they do that that utilize their employees to promote their efforts in recruiting.
It's actually fascinating that you talk about this, Dee, because we, quite interestingly, we see this happen naturally at NAWO networking events where women talk about their employer, talk about the opportunities they've been given in such a positive way in most instances. And I've seen how this naturally engages other women in the story of that company. And I guess what you're suggesting, Dee, is having an actual strategy around employees telling the story of your company and balancing this with other aspects of your recruitment and selection process. And I guess getting the balance right is really the critical thing.
I think that that's a huge challenge for companies, is to determine the balance between having a really articulated brand expression. So consistency of photography, consistency of certain types of graphics, you know, a really solid schedule and rhythm in communicating and in trying to engage with people publicly. Like just the repetition, the rhythm of that is so powerful. Like that's what a company can control. And then balancing that with the less perfect, I guess, the less scripted realness that employees bring. It's what's the balance? And that really takes, like you said, it takes an investment in the strategy to figure out for that unique company, you know, based on how aggressive they are with their outreach efforts, you know, what percentage of that is going to be, you know, for every 5 company branded posts, how many hashtags can they have out there for their employees to use? Like what's the balance there? What's the protocol, I guess?
So it's striking the balance between having some protocol and strategy behind the storytelling, but having those stories come across very organically and naturally and honestly, that I guess is the key. Now, Dee, what are some organizations, or what's an example of an organization that you believe has done a really good job of attracting women to an industry that has not generally been seen as an industry for women?
So the National Offender Management Services, NOMS, has a campaign and it's called Is It In You? And I thought to use this as an example because of the statement you made, what was it, in your earlier comments, that sometimes you hear that, or a lot of the time you hear that a job is going to require a special kind of woman. And obviously that can be taken in so many directions, and it can in dark ones, you know, like, oh, you know, how old and stodgy and blah, blah, blah. But it, you know, this is actually a really interesting positive twist on the same type of statement. So the National Offender Management Services, they are recruiting prison guards. And their whole campaign is called Is It In You? And so what they do is they use Facebook posts that have messages such as, do you have what it takes to be a prison officer? That's kind of like the question. And then it says, you know, being a prison officer is tough. There's, you know, you have to have empathy. You have to be very quick on your feet in tough situations. And these align very much with, I think, some of what it requires to be in operations. And, you know, like for instance, in manufacturing, or at least in my family's business, you know, you have to not only have the know-how of the process and the people skills to manage, but you also, a lot of times, have to have physical ability. You have to have stamina to be on your feet. And these are all things that are not necessarily all what a man necessarily would do better than a woman. But the cool thing about what NOMS is doing is they're not saying, hey, women, come work for us, because, you know, they're completely normalizing the gender issue by simply just saying, do you have what it takes to be a prison officer? Which is really lovely, because that could be, anybody can have great listening skills. Anybody can have self-confidence and resilience and empathy. And that is expressed through all genders.
And I love this example, Dee, because it really gets to the heart of what we talk about at NAWO a lot, which is to attract diverse talent, you really have to think laterally about how you describe jobs and how you describe opportunities and how you think about them. So anything that's trainable, you take out of the job brief, you take out of the advertising, and you really think more about the inherent qualities that are required of a person to perform that job really well. I'm keen to know how NOMS used imagery in their process.
So the photos that they've used in this campaign, and I can send you the link and you can publish it with the podcast so people can reference it. So this campaign, the photography that they use is really clever. So they'll have like a photo from behind of somebody grabbing a book off a bookshelf, and it's not of an officer. It's not of like it's like a detailed shot. Or they'll have somebody, you know, like you can see sort of part of the officer's body and you can see that they're overlooking, a group of inmates, but their body is relaxed. So even though you can see just a little part of them, there's the detail in their body posture that feels relaxed and feels under control. So it's about how it feels. And it's kind of has a hopeful message about it. And that works really well for a prison system. You want it to feel calm and relaxed. And
this is really clever, Dee, because I could be wrong, but I'm sure prisons look very different in reality to the image or the perception that's in my mind. And so by using this imagery in their campaign, they're actually changing my mindset about what it looks like in the prison system and what it might be like to work in the prison system. And obviously a lot of the industries that we're talking about here, it's changing those perceptions is really important. So the imagery that you use is really crucial. Just back to the Starbucks example for a minute. Really, you started talking about social media and how we can use that to engage our employees in storytelling. But can you talk a little bit more about how we can utilize social media more effectively in our recruitment and selection processes?
I think the process, thinking about, you know, speaking of operations and speaking about, you know, how to do something really efficiently, that same mindset has to be applied to social media. It can't just be Sally in the front office periodically checks the Facebook page to make sure that nobody's complaining about our company. And, you know, like maybe, you know, or like once a day we're posting, but we're also creating that content the day before or the day of. And so it's really, you know, I find that I work with companies that are just getting started, that they feel hugely overwhelmed by the process because they don't know how much they should be posting. And then when they think about, oh my gosh, I need to post once a day, or quite frankly, like between all of your platforms that are probably relevant for you, even if you only have maybe two or three platforms, you're looking realistically at maybe five or six at minimum posts per day, not to mention the engagement that follows when people comment. So, you know, they think, oh my gosh, well, I have to hire a whole department, or we have to hire a whole team. We don't have, and then it's like the conversation ends there. I think that the process is huge. There's a lot of really great automation tools out there. I think, you know, one thing that I often step in with my clients on is establishing that process. I mean, there's, you know, we think, okay, so we need to start reporting. We need to figure out what our metrics are, and trying to underwhelm the amount of report, like, okay, so what are we going to report on? You know, do I even know what this report means? And, you know, how many pages is it going to be, and who's going to have time to look at it? So really validating every effort has to be tied to some sort of metric that matters in plain English to the CEO, essentially. So that's number one, I think, is really committing to having somebody in charge of the process, kind of the process manager, having and getting all that stuff, that strategy, really spending time with it and getting it out of the way.
And if you've got a strong marketing department, obviously you know, they can own this? I mean, where's the line drawn between HR and marketing in some of the organisations you work with in terms of ownership of some of these strategies?
So HR and marketing, first of all, should have the same voice. So HR is a huge influencer of what can and cannot be said publicly and how far we go with our messages, and also how they communicate with candidates directly. You know, that connection has to be seamless with what is being marketed publicly.
And not trying to be everything to everybody. Talk to us about that a little bit, because you can go a little bit crazy social media wise, can't you?
You really can, because things change so quickly. You can just go nuts and lose your strategy altogether. So, you know, the bottom line is that people want to be part of a really great workplace, and they want to know how to get a foot in the door. They want to know what it takes to be successful and how they can achieve their goals once they're inside. And the truth is that not all workplaces are for everyone, and nor should they be. So, just like with NOM, sometimes we're in operations or manufacturing, logistics, they're tough places to be because of high expectations, high demands for customers. You know, there might be high risk for error if, you know, that there's big expectations. So great workplaces do great things, but those great things don't come easily. And it's important to convey that. It's sort of like being on a team. When you join a team or you move up to varsity, I don't know if they call it varsity in Australia, but you know, when you go from the junior team to the really good team, it's the understanding that you have to play, that you have to up your game.
I think that's really important, Dee, is to be really realistic about the expectations that a workplace has and understanding that it won't be for everyone, and that's all right. But being really transparent about that is really critical. Now, Dee, there are many ways in which organisations connect with potential talent, and I guess it's understanding all of these touch points that's critical to having a really good employment branding strategy. Can you talk us through kind of where you would get started in preparing a strategy?
Right. So a great place for companies to get started is to evaluate their corporate vision, mission, and values statements, and to really refresh whatever is no longer relevant. That's one of the first orders of business is to take a look at that and internally just evaluate, you know, what are our words? What are our character? What do we, you know, if we like to claim integrity, right? And the old mission statement was literally just the definition of integrity. Well, how can we make that our own? So how do we really refine that so that it is reflective of our story and of what it, you know, how we operate and what's special and unique about us? So, you know, mission statements, vision statements, that stuff usually sits like in IT's back bottomless server somewhere. It gets done and then that's it. But man, that is just, it's gold, because if you can articulate it just so, then that is the foundation for all of the rest of your messaging. And in fact, there are, you know, even beyond vision, mission, values, there are brand attributes, which are as if your company were to be a person and you were to say, what type of attributes does this person possess? Are they caring? Are they charismatic? Are they, you know, cautious, whatever, you can use that as an added layer as an added dimension to your branding, so that you're not just saying we have integrity because we stand behind every single one of our products, but you can also say, you know, we have integrity and we, you know, we are extremely conscientious. So we make sure that everything we touch, beyond just integrity, why? Because we can't, it's just in us. Like everything we touch, we are aware of how it affects everybody else. And I think that speaks, that it just kind of takes it another level deeper to where it can be relevant to a human being. It's about trying to, you know, extend the arm that reaches from the company's, you know, corporate speak to, you know, a human being's emotions. So that would be the first touch point. as far as what they can do next would be to take an audit of their ecosystem, like a brand ecosystem audit, because I think, you know, a lot of times we don't even all the way know what we have out there. You know, there might be like an old something that's just not really reflecting very well. So you do an audit and see, you know, once you have the vision, mission, and values, you can compare that to what's currently out there and adjust as necessary, like a chiropractor would. You can kind of make the adjustments, make sure that everything is consistent and there's nothing that's, you know, glaringly outdated or offensive.
I worked for a company where the employment brochures were completely out of date.
Exactly. I mean, yes, you may have paid a lot of money for them, but now, you know, the lost opportunity that you're, you know, wasting by using them today is far more expensive.
And I guess, Dee, if you don't have the resources to do that internally yourself, you can always engage a consultant such as yourself to really have a good look at the marketplace and the perceptions of your organization within the market for talent.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple ways, you know, internally, you know, if you weren't going to, you know, number one, I would always say too, that would be a perfect time to get a consultant or someone who's objective to take a look and bring you through more of a methodical process for evaluating and gaining different perspectives about your own brand, doing competitive, you know, even if you did your own competitive research and you were like, oh, this is our competitor and this is what they're doing, even still, a lot of the times it's you're still stuck inside of your own lens. You're still behind that lens. You still are stuck behind your own unconscious biases. So I would say to do that. And then if you had the capacity, the capabilities internally, something that you can do before you hired on a consultant or a strategic agency would be to, you could even conduct your own, you know, focus groups, or, you know, that type of exercise brings a lot of really great insight. And you can take that. And then I would recommend having, you know, having someone who has a research background and who's a, I guess a, I would call him a strategic planner. So someone who has a deep background in market research and analysis and can really take that information and pull out those insights. I'd have them do something where then you can say, okay, here's what matters. Here are the trends of our focus groups. Here's what we're hearing. Okay, this makes sense based on what we've seen happening in the market, and then you can kind of take it from there.
And Dee, the last thing I want to talk about is keeping it real. So many of our organisations who are members of NAWO are on a bit of a journey with really creating inclusive workplaces. So whilst they're aspiring to a culture that they want to have, they're not quite there yet. How do we keep it real and not overpromise to talent, and, you know, which will result in disappointment and have an impact on retention, obviously?
It kind of brings us back to the beginning of our conversation regarding idealizations. You know, Google is an ideal, but, you know, such a sliver, a very, very small fraction of organizations have the resources to build a brand as exciting and thrilling as Google and Starbucks, or even to support and, you know, support those promises that they make about the best places to work. But, you know, I've also worked for some companies that, you know, like to copy. I've worked in and known companies that are well-intended copycats of Google and Facebook and Starbucks, where, you know, you go to their career page and it's all like, you know, happy hour Friday and bring your dog to work Wednesday. And it's like high fives and, you know, supercharged. And you walk through the doors and it's just like any other corporate office environment.
So there's a bit of a disconnect between the brand and reality.
I think that's where some companies end up shooting themselves in the foot. And I think that it would be much better if a company were to just instead, A, have a much more streamlined, like we talked about earlier, the connection between HR and the onboarding process and the marketing kind of recruiting process. Those can't be like a, you know, one stops and then the other one kind of starts like 2 weeks later. It has to be 100% seamless.
And I guess it's managing and being honest about the fact that you're on a journey, that this is where we're going, but we're not quite there yet.
And neither are you. And that's where you need to normalize it. You can say, we're on a journey, we're improving, we're changing the way, whatever. Like, here's some things that we're doing to improve, blah, blah, blah. But you know, here's how we can support your journey and your growth, because I think that that's something that you miss on a bulleted job posting. I know that, you know, in operations, I can do this, 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 and this, but how do I know if this company is going to be right for me or if they're even going to be paying attention to me? And that's where keeping a career page that's really engaging and that looks really current and looks very intentional is paramount. So, NOMS actually, again, they have a career page that actually asks you, it starts with a question like, are you right for this job? And then it kind of like, you can scroll through the page and different little modules pop up. You can even take, you know, mini quizzes to find out if it's a good fit for you. it's a fantastic campaign that I think is a really great model to go by.
Yeah, well, I really can't wait to have a look at the NOMS model, and we will make sure that that's available to all our members. And Dee, I guess to start wrapping up our conversation, we've really covered a lot today, but having an employment branding strategy that is bought into by both HR and marketing, and having this drive a very consistent tone, look and feel throughout the whole recruitment and selection process, from the job brief right through to placement and onboarding, is just so crucial. We've also spoken about the selection of imagery in your advertising and on your website and through the process, and also ways of realistically positioning the workplace culture you're aspiring to, which can be underpinned really by your mission, vision and values. But most importantly, I think, is engaging your own employees in positive storytelling about your company. And I really love that aspect of what we've spoken about today. It's actually something that we see happen very naturally at our NAWO networking events, where we see women talking about how wonderful their companies are and the wonderful projects that they're working on. And I guess engaging or leveraging social media to be able to do that in a more strategic way is a really exciting opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. And make it, and that's the special little experience, kind of my closing thought and what I've sort of learned through this talking to you and just thinking about this is, growing up in a family business and being really close to that story, you know, the closer you can get your employees to feeling like that story is theirs, the better off, the better chances you're going to get of keeping them around, provided you treat them well. Of course, you have to treat them well. But if you can make them feel like they own a piece of that story, or that they can identify to that journey themselves, they'll run with it. But you have to give it to them. You have to show that you're not perfect or that you're flawed. And I think people nowadays, with such a huge trend in transparency, people are looking for that. And it's still kind of an uncharted territory, especially within the manufacturing operations fields. But it's a huge opportunity to stand out because of that.
I think you're right, yeah. Dee. I think we have some fabulous opportunities where we can really have our organizations stand out from the crowd and attract great female talent. Dee, I've really enjoyed our conversation today.
Excellent. Me too.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Well, that concludes our first podcast for Women in Operations. I hope you enjoyed our discussion today, and I hope it provokes some new thinking around marketing your organisation to female talent. Look out for episode 2, where we have an interview with Catherine Fitzsimons. Catherine is a NAWO board member and has had an exemplary career in many different industries, and her career story is very inspiring. Now she is director of Ward Air, a pilot training company, and so we're looking forward to talking with Catherine. So look out for that one. Bye for now.